I wonder if all the ones who have been doing the work in the kitchen are present. Or are they still downstairs? Still downstairs? I thought it'd be nice to let them know our appreciation. I certainly appreciate the fine meals we've had so far today. Why don't we just give them a hand at this time? There's a few of them. After an arousing applause like that, I know you're awake. I'm going to speak on 6 points tonight, so you can tell when I'm going to get through. Someone said I could go for an hour, but I decided not to go that long. Just 45 minutes. Before I'm through tonight, I'm going to preach on 6 nevers out of the Word of God. 6 nevers. We don't like to hear about nevers. Someone might think when I speak of 6 nevers right away, well, he's going to speak on never smoke. I'm not. Never drink. I'm not going to speak on that either. Some of you might think it's never take drugs. I'm not going to speak on that either. That's not the never. Some of you might think it's never watch TV or never go to the movies or something else. You've all got your own never. But it's not one of those nevers. I remember when I served in the military some years ago, I came in one night into the barracks room, and one of the men said to me, "Would you like to play a little poker?" And before I could say no or give a never answer that I didn't play, one of the other men, who cursed every other word, who was perhaps one of the vilest men I ever knew, said, "No, you won't get him to play poker. He's a Christian." And Christians never, and he started dance, smoke, drink, and he went on. I found it a bit sad that he said that. I'll tell you why. He knew Christians for what they didn't do and not what they should do. And tonight, the nevers I'm going to draw out of the Scripture have to do with some nevers that are very important to us as believers and as Christians. And if you remember these nevers, they'll be good all your life. 30 years from now, 40 years from now, if you live that long, we don't have any promise on tomorrow, but if you live that long, you'll remember these nevers and think about them. Never is an important word. When Adolf Hitler decided to invade Russia way back years ago, 1941, some of his German generals said to him, "Never invade Russia. It'll be your undoing." He said, "We can't lose." They said, "Napoleon did." He went ahead and he lost 1 million men. And it was said, as they look back today, that was the turning point of World War II for him. It ruined him. Some people can't take a never. When you give them a negative, something not to do, they don't like it. Well, turn with me to the book of Ephesians in the New Testament. Ephesians chapter 6. We've been speaking about it. In the film last night, one of the men in the film read some of these verses, and I'm going to read another one. Ephesians 6, verse 18. "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." Now you're going to say, that's not fair, your nevers tonight. They're really positive, but you put them in a negative cast. My first negative tonight, my first never is this. Never neglect your prayer life as a Christian. How often do you pray? Some people think prayer is just for old women, or preachers, or for religious people. But the Bible tells us that it's important that we pray. We're to pray in a persevering way. We find in another scripture that we're to pray without ceasing. That doesn't mean you go round with your head bowed all the time. That means you should be in an attitude where you can pray. Never neglect your prayer life. There's a lot of illustrations in the Bible to back this up. In the Old Testament, in the book of Kings, and I won't turn you there, but in the 8th chapter, there was a man called Solomon. When he came to the throne of Israel to rule, he was young. And he felt very, very queasy to take over the leadership of Israel and all that was thrust upon him. And he thrust himself upon the Lord and he prayed. In fact, his prayer is the longest prayer in the Bible. In 1 Kings chapter 8, you'll find Solomon's prayer. If you read it and you time it with your watch, it'll last about 7.5 minutes. He prayed the longest prayer in the Bible, and he prayed at the dedication of the temple. He had built the temple. And he prayed. And if you read that prayer, it's a tremendous prayer. He was young. You know what's sad about Solomon's life? If you go over just a few chapters in 1 Kings and get to the 11th chapter, you'll discover that it begins to say about him, he married a series of wives, 1,000 of them all together, and he ended up building places of worship for them, and he neglected his prayer life and gave his life over to worshiping false gods and idol worship and all the rest, and the end of his life was a sad ending. In fact, God was so angry with him, and God can be angry in the righteous sense. He said, Solomon, how he spoke to him we don't know, but he spoke to him. He said, Solomon, if it wasn't for your father David, I'd rend the kingdom from you right now. I'd take it away from you. But because of David and the man he was, I'll take it away from your son instead. But because you've neglected me and you've turned from serving me, when your son comes to the throne, I'll rend the kingdom from him. That was the result of Solomon as he drifted and he neglected his prayer life and then neglected God. But Solomon had a good beginning. You know, it's sad to see anyone with a good beginning and have a bad ending. It's far better to have a bad beginning and a good ending. When we see somebody start well and end poorly, it's a discouraging thing. Solomon drifted. Even though he was a great man of wisdom and he was a great man with words and God used him in a wonderful way, he wrote for us the book of Proverbs and Ecclesiastes and the Song of Solomon. We like to quote his writings. Yet the end of his life is a sad end. Never neglect your prayer life. If you don't think prayer is vital, if we had time, we'd turn to Daniel chapter 6. Daniel was a prime minister. He ruled over the greatest empire of that day and age, with something like perhaps the British Empire in its greatness. Perhaps we could compare it to the United States today. Daniel was like the second man in the land, prime minister. Only King Darius was higher than he was. He had all authority under him. And yet we read in Daniel chapter 6 that 3 times a day he went back to his chambers and he prayed. And that's how they got him. There were those who hated Daniel. And they searched his life. Tell me, if somebody knew what you were doing tonight, knew your actual life, you know, they knew what you were like, totally, would you be embarrassed? Not Daniel. These men hated him, and they looked over his life, and they studied him carefully, and they eavesdropped on him, and they spied on him, and when they got done, all they could say is he prays. Well, they said, we'll get him on that. He prays. Let's get the king to sign a petition that no man can make a petition to God or any decree except the king for 30 days. And they said, we know Daniel. He'll go on praying 3 times a day. Isn't that a testimony? Won't change Daniel's life. And he did. He went on praying 3 times a day anyway, and he ended up in the den of lions and got out too. Daniel did not neglect his prayer life. Never neglect your prayer life. Now, I'm not going to tell you to get up in the morning and pray. And pray early in the morning. Some of you can't even get up early in the morning, you know. Your mother calls you and it's time for school. Somebody has to practically come in and drag you out by the seat to get you out of bed. Are you like that? I hope not. Do you get up and pray? Spend some time in prayer in the day. You pray at night. You say, I don't have the courage to pray. Maybe you're in a situation where you're in an unsaved home and you're belittled for praying. Pray anyway. Prayer is a great testimony to others. Do you ever see some people pray in restaurants? You know, I assume they're Christians when they bow their head. You don't know whether they're looking for a fly in the soup or whether they're really praying. You know, they bow their head quickly and then up again. They're sure somebody's watching. They're embarrassed. Don't be embarrassed to pray. Some of the greatest people who have ever lived felt the need of prayer. Daniel knew he had to pray. The songwriter said, dare to be a Daniel, dare to stand alone. You say, well, not too many young people pray. Never neglect your prayer life. When you come to know Christ as Savior, you need a prayer life. And you need to pray. Well, that's the first never tonight. Very quickly, go over with me to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy 2:15. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, the second never for the Christian life is this. Never neglect the studying or the reading of the Word of God. Get to know it. Don't neglect it. If you neglect it, it's going to lead to trouble. We're answering questions today. Who should you marry? How should you find a wife? How should you find a husband? If you study the Word of God, it'll give you some answers. If you study the Word of God, you'll sense which direction to go at the right time. The Word of God will speak to you. It's important to hide the Word of God in our hearts that we might not sin against God. Never neglect the reading of the Word of God. Make it very imperative in your life. Make it very important in your life. How important is it to your life? How often do you read the Word of God? Did you read it today? I mean, besides in the Bible studies and the workshops, the other times when we were asked to turn to the Word, do you read it for yourself? Do you ask yourself the question, what does it mean? What does it say to me? Never neglect the reading of the Word of God. We need to know what's in God's Word. Why we're in a fight today? We're in a fight like we've never been in before. There's a hymn we used to sing. Sometimes it's still sung. Hold the fort, for I am coming. Whether you know it or not, the fort has been breached. The world, the flesh, and the devil has stormed the fort. The enemy is inside. And no more can you count on a fort. We're in a fight. And in that fight, you need to know the Word of God. You need to be able to make decisions. You need to decide, is this right or is it wrong? You can only find it by knowing the Word of God. God's Word will come to you and say, no, that's wrong. You may want to do something. You might think something's okay, but you're not sure. If you read the Word of God, God will speak with you with a voice that will sound like thunder through the Word of God. It'll come to you just the right time. I can testify to that in my own life. I've thought about doing something or other, and into my mind has come the Word of God, and very clearly I realized I couldn't do it. That's the importance of knowing the Word of God. It's a guide to our life, you see. The Word of God gives us words of wisdom. The Word of God will tell us all kinds of things, how to live. You say, how to conduct yourself in school even? Yes. The Word of God has a lot of clear teaching for us. It has a lot of teaching that we need to know. Never neglect the reading of the Word of God. Paul wrote to Timothy and he said, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Everything is being propagated around us today, by the way. Young people are picking up all kinds of ideas, and middle-aged and old people, and they're hearing everything on TV and radio regarding teaching in the Scriptures. And not all of it is true. And we need to know the Bible for ourselves, whether it's true or not. Well, that's the second never. Very quickly, Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. This isn't a popular never by any means. But Hebrews 10 and 25 says this, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Never forsake the assembling of yourself together. As a Christian, you need fellowship with God's people. You need fellowship with other Christians. If you fellowship with the world, you can expect trouble. Now, it's true we have to witness to the world, but in your close times of fellowship, you need to gather with God's people. You might say to me tonight and come to me afterwards, I don't like to go to prayer meeting. Only the old people go in the church where I am. Well, if you'd go and start going, there'd be a few young people there, wouldn't there? And if you'd bring a few more young people, a few more would come. never forsake the assembling of yourselves together. It's important to assemble as Christians. You say, well, I can sit and listen to a preacher on TV. I don't have to go in to a place where they've gathered Christians. Sitting and watching a preacher on TV is like calling your girlfriend over the telephone rather than going to see her personally. It's about the same thing. It's far different to go and see her personally than to call her on the telephone. Too great a distance. What you need to do is to come right together with other Christians and fellowship together. There's something about singing the hymns. There's something about chatting with other Christians, talking with them afterwards, that builds us up in our faith. Maybe God will use another Christian to say something to you. Not too long ago, I was in Hamilton, and I was in a restaurant with several Christians. And I had been going through certain experiences that week. And as I sat in that restaurant talking with that Christian couple, I thought they had eavesdropped on all my conversation for the week. That man began to say certain things. And I thought, I know he can't know what's transpired in my life this week. But you see, God used that Christian man to say things to me that I needed. And yet he didn't realize what he was saying. He didn't know he was saying something I needed in particular. But I sat there just stunned as he began to say certain things that I had been involved in that week in conversation and so forth, and I needed some answers and I wasn't sure. And he began to say certain things, and it was just like the voice of God speaking to me. And I could hear God speaking to me through that man. God uses other Christians, you see. Sometimes a Christian will go and gather, and another Christian will say something to us just at the right time. Maybe they'll give us a scripture, or they'll tell us something, some truth from the Word that'll help us over a difficult situation. We should not neglect the coming together with other Christians. It builds us up. It encourages us. Even though we say, well, that's a dull place. Well, maybe you're one of the reasons that it's dull. You need to come along and liven it up and bring some life in. That's the third never. John's Gospel, chapter 21. John 21. John 21. And verse 21. Let's read 20 also for connection. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast to supper, and said, Lord, what is he? Which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Lord, what shall this man do? Now, the fourth never is this. Never take your standard for Christian living as to what you should do from a fellow Christian. The Apostle Peter here was the man. And he was curious, as he talked to Christ just before his departure from this earth, the Lord had said to him, Peter, feed my lambs, and then feed my sheep twice. And then Peter had missed this somehow. He paid no attention. Surprising how you can pay no attention sometimes. And then he finally turned to the Lord and he said, Lord, what is this man going to do? How is he going to live his life? And we believe he was talking about the Apostle John. He said, what shall this man do? How is he going to live? What's his life going to be like? And the Lord said to him, Verse 22, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. What he was saying, mind your own business, Peter. That's not your concern, how another Christian serves me or lives his life. You're to take your standards from the Word of God. You're to take your Christian pattern of living from the Word of God, and you're to pursue it carefully. Don't look at other Christians. Young people, old people, middle-aged people are prone to do these things. You know, they'll look at others and say, well, they're doing it, I can do it. That does not make it right, because the whole crowd's doing it. In fact, it's a dangerous thing to follow that type of thing. Never, never should we take our standards from others. We should take them from the Word of God. And the Lord had to instruct the Apostle Peter and say to him, Peter, mind your own business. You know, that's a big mouthful. We need to mind our own business. We need to look at ourselves and judge how we're living our Christian lives in the light of God's Word. That's very important. Go over with me to Colossians. Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. Colossians 3 and 17. I've been asked the question in speaking to young people, is it all right to do this or is it all right to do that? I saw a newspaper article from Billy Graham's column, and somebody had written into him, was a young person, teenager, said, "Dear Billy, tell us what is all right for a Christian to do." And he didn't write back and give them a list of things not to do. What he said is, read the Word of God. Read it carefully and prayerfully. First of all, decide for Christ and receive Christ as Savior. But then read the Word carefully and prayerfully. And if you can't get God's blessing on what you're going to do, don't do it. Colossians 3:17 says, "And whatsoever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him." And whatsoever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. You know, that eliminates a lot of things, doesn't it? Some young people, someone asked the question, how far should you go on a date? Can you ask God's blessing on it? You answer the question yourself. Can you ask God's blessing upon it and say, okay, I'll seek God's blessing upon how far I can go? I think that'll straighten out the problem right there. God will give you a quick answer. Can you get God's blessing upon doing that which is questionable? You know you can't. I don't have to tell you that. Can you get a sense of God directing you in a certain way if it's not right? Some young people say, well, it's in the gray area. We don't know where it stands. We don't know whether it's right or wrong. The Scripture doesn't say don't do this or that in certain things. Seek God's blessing upon it. Be able to give thanks to God and the Father by Him in the name of the Lord Jesus on whatever you're about to do. And then if it's God's way and God's will, God will give you a clear sense of leading on it. Never act in doubt as to when something is right or wrong without seeking God's blessing upon it and giving thanks for it. If you're not sure, never act in doubt. Seek God's blessing upon it. Well, the sixth never is this. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 3. The only one in the Old Testament, although we could have stayed in the New. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6 and 7. Perhaps you could quote them. I'm sure some could. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not into your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He shall direct your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. I've heard some say sometimes, I have a feeling that it's the right thing to do. If your feeling is contrary to faith or fact of God's teaching, your feeling's wrong. Some people get feelings about doing certain things and say, well, I have a good feeling about it. Never trust your feelings if to do so is contrary to God's clear teaching. Never trust your feelings. Some people say, well, I just feel that this is the right way to go, or I sense that it's the right way to go. Never trust your feelings if to do so is contrary to the Word of God. If you're flying into the face of the Word of God, and the Word of God says, don't do this or that, don't trust your feelings, because you're headed for trouble then. God has given us some very clear teaching in His Word. It covers all kinds of areas of life. It covers marriage. Covers children, the raising of children. Has to do with birth and death and life and working. How we live in relation to each other. And don't rely upon hunches. We hear so much of that today. Well, I sort of have a hunch. You know how far gamblers get on hunches? Yeah, they lose a lot of their money. Hunches are just something you get sometimes. Never trust your feelings if to do so is contrary to the Word of God. Now, there's quick six nevers. They're good for life. They're good for as long as you live, till you're swept into the presence of the living God Himself. If you neglect your prayer life, let me tell you, you're missing out on the source of power. It's an important source of power, prayer. If you don't pray, you're not in contact, and I'm not in contact, with the person we need to be in contact with, and that's the living God. I read an article in a worldly magazine back a few years ago, written by a psychologist who wasn't even a Christian. And he said, in effect, very quickly, he said, Christians have a secret in prayer. He said, I don't propose to understand it, but he said, when they go to their God, and he indicated he didn't believe in God, when they go to their God, they get a feeling, more than a feeling, they get an assurance of well-being. They can roll their burdens on someone, and the psychologist said, that's what you need. You need to be able to consult with somebody that's all-powerful, has all authority. And that's exactly what we need, and we find in God. You can only find it in God. The Bible, never neglect the Word of God. If you neglect the reading of the Word of God, you're liable to get into trouble that you might regret. I've had Christians say to me, I've done quite a bit of counseling in the last 4 or 5 years, especially with middle-aged people, and they've said to me, oh, if I only wish that was in the... I wish I knew that truth, and they wish they had read the Word before and knew it was there. They couldn't untangle their lives. Their lives were like scrambled eggs. We heard about that this morning. Once you get yourself into a mess, it's like scrambling eggs. You can't unscramble them. If you can tell me how to unscramble eggs, let me know. There are some Christians that say, well, I can do what I please, and I can live the way I want to live. And they get their life like scrambled eggs. And then they try to unscramble it, and they'll go to other Christians for help, and they'll go to for counseling. And they'll say, what can you do? And I've had to say to Christians 2 or 3 times, I cannot unscramble eggs. You've scrambled them. I stood at the back of a meeting one day after I'd finished preaching, and I met a man who was a Christian who had been divorced 3 times. And he was a big man, stood about 6'4". After a while, he started weeping. He said, my life is a mess. Can you tell me what to do? And I asked him how long he had been saved, and he told me, and I said, you've already made a big mess of it. And I said, you've scrambled eggs. I cannot unscramble them. You're going to have to keep the scrambled eggs. He said, if only I could undo all the mess I'm in. And I said to him, sir, you cannot undo it. You've married 3 women. And the one he was with then, he was unhappy. He had neglected the Word. He had rejected the Word in clear teaching to him, you see, and disregarded it. Never neglect the reading of the Word. Never neglect your prayer life. Never try to take your Christianity from other Christians. Never forsake the assembling of yourself together. Never trust your feelings, if to do so is to fly into the face of fact, the fact of the Word of God.